Rodriguez with the Alliance. And so far I have Kelly and Matt, Penny and John on the call. Do we have any other committee members on the line? All right. Well, Kelly, we are three after. If it's okay with you, I'm going to suggest we go ahead and get started.
Sounds good. I would say that we will welcome everybody and call the meeting to order. And if anybody else has joined or...
Hi, it's Paul Zuccarelli. Sorry I'm a little late.
Excellent. Hello. Welcome.
Thank you.
And if anybody else, just chime in and let us know you're there. We are recording the meeting. So I'm actually just going to turn it on over to Dennis to talk about the goal update.
Thank you, Kelly, and good morning or good afternoon to everybody. in your packet, the first item is the 2017 corporate goals update. This committee reviews and oversees and monitors the first four goals that you see there, one under programming and then, I'm sorry, five goals, one under programming and four under membership. So I'll just quickly give some highlights. You're familiar with these goals by now. We took a look at our status of them at the last meeting. Plan engagement, which is our core goal, if you will, 45% of the weight of our goals is on this one, and it as you know, it's the way that we really monitor the involvement that our members have with the Alliance and with one another. We're halfway through the year now. This information is through the end of the second quarter, so while we haven't reached threshold quite yet, we're really quite on track to do so. You can see the percentages there for engaged, fully engaged, and highly engaged. And then as you read across the threshold, the target, and the superior. So we're right on track to certainly probably reach a target. So going on down to the other goals, the strategic value goal is one that we introduced last year, and it was to encourage us to focus in on those plans that are at the, you know, lower end of the engagement scale. So if you take a look at the sheet that's entitled Engagement Second Quarter 2017 Engagement Summary, sorry, the pages aren't numbered, but you'll see the list of the plans there and then the number of points that they have. And so our focus is on those plans that at the end of 16 were down at the lower end of that scale and how we could encourage their increased participation. So last year we had five plans that were less than highly engaged. And if you skip a page, the engagement opportunities, and go to the page that's entitled 2017 Member Strategic Value Goal, Plans Less Than Highly Engaged in 2016, you'll see those plans there: Aspire, Chinese Community, Cook Children's, First Carolina Care, and Adventist. So we're working closely with those plans. You'll see that couple of them are really on track to reach that 20% increase in points. The one that is behind a schedule is Adventist. You'll recall that they are a single product plan, switched their strategy to focus in from Medicare into a Medicaid plan. Several of their senior executives did attend our meeting in Chicago, our health system meeting in June. And so each of these five plans, the team at the Alliance, we're taking a look at how to engage with them. In some cases, there's been a significant turnover in senior leadership team, like at Cook Children's, and then others, continuing to work with them. We've developed action plans for how to engage with each of them. I'm going to skip right now the health system engagement goal and talk about that a little bit further down in the agenda. So the last two goals are related to one another. One is the retention of members, and our goal here is to retain 100% of our members so that we have no voluntary withdrawals. We will not meet that target this year because Parkland notified us, and they termed their membership effective 6-1. Just a quick word about that. Parkland, as you know, may know, is a Medicaid plan based in Dallas. They outsourced a significant portion of their operations to Aetna, so they don't have the full contingent of operational team like most plans do, like claims, customer service, those areas. So automatically their kind of involvement, because they didn't have those areas of responsibility at the staff level, had always been a little bit low. They do have care management and some of the other functions, and they integrated well with us there, or engaged well with us there typically. But as just as other Medicaid plans, as they got their rates in, they had about a $30 million swing in their rate structure from what they thought they were going to get a rate increase. And it swung all the pendulum went all the way over to the other side where they got a significant rate decrease. And so they just had to carefully evaluate everything. I did talk with Tim Bay, the CEO there, and he was very remorseful in needing to identify, let us know that they were going to have to withdraw. Really wishes they could stay in the alliance, but they literally had to take a look at every single budget line item and be able to justify it. And so they made the decision to withdraw. In terms of the recruitment of members, you'll recall from our last meeting, we have had two new members join us already this year, and then we'll have two more voted on at this committee meeting. So we're certainly on track to reach target. Kristen is working closely with a couple of other plans, and we're quite confident that they will be joining us, if not by the end of this year, then in the first part of next year. So we're right on track with that goal as well. Any questions? It's great to see the engagement goal. We've already got two members that are over 1,000 points and an additional 5 members that are within striking distance. You can see a significant increase in the number of engagement points, almost double the number of engagement points that we had to this point last year.
I guess that was going to be my question. How are we comparing? So we're ahead of where we were last year in terms of that piece?
Yes. Last year at the end of the second quarter, we had about 12,600 points, and this year we have over 20,000 already.
Great. Thank you for the comparison.
Any other questions? All right. Well, that covers our goals then. Kelly, do you want me to move straight into the membership report?
Yes, please. That would be great.
Okay. As I mentioned, we've had one voluntary withdrawal, Parkland. Any questions about that? We did, like I said, I was able to have an exit interview with Tim and kind of discuss with him the reasons for them leaving. If any of you would like to have a conversation with Tim, I can certainly set that up. It was purely not a value issue and really not even a financial issue, in that they could, the $50,000 was reasonable to Tim. It's just that they had to, with that kind of almost a $30 million swing in reimbursement, they just had to take a look at every line item. And so you see the withdrawal letter in your packet. So let's turn our attention then to the member pipeline report. This is the first time that this committee has seen this report, I believe. Kristen and Nicole and Donna and our team have worked diligently in the first 6 months of this year to set up a structure in our database that allows us to track our progress with those potential members who are in our pipeline. It allows us to kind of track where they are at in our process. It allows us to track all of the conversations and the engagements and the intersection points that we have with them, and allows us to kind of, you know, just keep monitoring and are we progressing, who are our contact points, what kinds of things have we invited them to, what kinds of things have we responded to them. And something I find very helpful as well is just tracking, you know, what have we said in our conversations in terms of, you know, what their dues are and what they, when their start dates would be, all of those technical elements. We now have all that information in one place. It also allows us to monitor and engage more fully with them by giving them, at the appropriate stage, a trial membership, which gives them fuller access to our website, involves them, standardizes how we communicate to them, make sure that they get all of the same types of communications that our members get. And so by doing this report, just real quick, since this is the first time you've seen it, you'll see the plan name there. The opportunity likelihood is kind of our estimate. How likely do we think that they are to join the alliance? And that likelihood changes and increases over time. You know, the closer we get, the more likely we feel they are to join as we progress through the discussions with them. So early on, they, you know, may be in the 5 to 25% range, and as we progress, that opportunity likelihood increases. We've identified various process stages. We've numbered them 10 through 100, kind of based on how much time and effort it takes. So as you might guess, the in-discussion phase goes from 30 to 70. That's a long, typically several months of discussion points going back and forth. Once they make the decision to join, then the application process and getting them to sign the paperwork, et cetera, moves very, very quickly. You'll see that we've also tracked here opportunities lost, such as Memorial Hermann. We still keep them on our pipeline report because a new CEO has joined and we're trying to reestablish connections with him. And we don't want to give up sometimes. We keep plans have a tendency to come back. You'll see one plan on there. I think Peoples is on. Their conversation had really stalled over a long period of time, and then all of a sudden Kristen was able to reignite the discussion with them, and now we're very confident that they are going to be joining us in the fall. So sometimes you just take a step back, let things settle, and keep in touch with folks, and then come back in. So I hope that this report finds helpful. If you take a look at any of those plans, do you have any questions on them?
Dennis, this is Matt.
Go ahead.
This is Matt. So I think it is very helpful. Thank you. So a question just like on the Care and Care Insurance Company. So when you approach other health plans, you already have a sense of how they compete in the various states they compete in. Is it, do you approach them first and then to try to understand their maybe future strategic plans, or do you do it afterwards, or how do you kind of, from a timeline perspective, approach plans that you may, that you're kind of, you don't know maybe if they compete with any of the other plans?
Yeah. You know, that's a great question, Matt, and each situation is unique, so I'll answer in general. In general, we'll have some basic information about the plan. Care and Care, for example, we had been in communication with them a couple of years ago, and we knew what their market, they are in the Fort Worth and Dallas area, and we knew what their market activity was, particularly in Dallas. That's where the overlap was with Baylor Scott and White. And when we first approached them, Scott and White was concerned about it because they were just entering the Dallas market and didn't know how all that was going to shake out. They've since entered the Dallas market, have a strong foothold there, and in addition have had a changeover in their CEOs. And what often happens with a changeover in a CEO, the perspective changes, and Jeff is much more open to bringing care and care in. And then, interestingly enough, Care and Care performs back office operations for Health Team Advantage, I believe it is, one of the Carolina plans. And so that reestablished the connection there too. Matt, try to get some sense of the potential for any kind of competitive situation. Having said that, you know, our process does allow for a plan to go through that process and has opportunities, if there are strong competitive concerns, for those to be raised as we go through the process. So I don't automatically shut somebody down now, even if there is a competitive situation. But I try to learn it. Kristen and I and Kathy try to learn as much about it as we can in advance.
That makes sense. Thank you. Yep.
Just one other comment about that. I'm sorry, Paul. Go ahead.
No, go ahead, Kathy. Go ahead.
I was just going to say that one of the challenges we have and we've had in the past is where there's been a barrier to somebody coming in. So they've either contacted us because they've heard about it, or a vendor has promoted us, or another member plan has, and then the current member that's in that market doesn't support it. So we try to mitigate some of those situations happening. We've told vendors, you know, talk to us first before you reach out to somebody who's a client, or, you know, having the member bring it up to us first, that helps it, because that's actually what happened with Memorial Hermann. They were very interested in coming in. Taylor Scott and White blocked it, and it wasn't until Jeff became the CEO, he's like, I'm fine with it. I think by that point they were a bit, well, we're going another direction.
Thank you.
I had a question and then a comment. Question is on UPMC, very progressive organization as a sponsor, and I noticed in the comment section it said the invitation was sent to come to the June meeting. Did anybody from there come? Just a question.
No, they did not.
That's okay. I'm just clarifying.
Yep.
That's fine. They're a really nice problem. The other question I had was Health Partners, Inc. Is that the Minnesota company?
Yes, it is.
Okay. I just want to make a statement here. I just found this out, that apparently Minnesota law is now allowing publicly traded insurance companies to operate in state. And, you know, you've got Medica there, you got Health Partners, you have Preferred One, and they're all extremely nervous in talking with their plan sponsors not to contract with Aetna or United. It's going to be fascinating to watch the antitrust issues in that state.
Mm-hmm.
If they just legislation allowing all the publicly traded for-profit insurance companies to begin operating again in Minnesota.
Interesting. Well, you know, we will have a situation with Preferred One and Health Partners. We had conversations with Preferred One last year, and they just didn't pick up, and they, you know, didn't seem all that interested. So I had the opportunity to meet the new CEO. She started in June at Health Partners, and introduced myself to her. And so we established a, you know, starting conversation with them. And then last week we got a reach out from the CEO at Preferred One saying, I want to talk with you again about membership. So a lot of this is back and forth, Paul. Dynamics change.
Yeah, I can share with you, the guy at Preferred One is a really, really quality guy.
Yeah.
He was buried because Fairview merged with HealthEast, merged with the university system. I mean, that health system now is like the behemoth, and it came out of nowhere. And P1 has 400,000 lives.
Yeah.
And he knows us from a prior plan that he was at, and I've helped him when he
was at, he was at MVP.
Yeah. Anyway, go ahead, Kathy.
I was going to say, one other follow-up on UPMC. There have been several contacts that we've had with them, and it's been hard actually getting them to show up or come at a meeting. And I think that because, one, they're involved with ACHP, and then also they're just so big that it's kind of hard to pull them in. So I think we're going to have to get a couple of people at a meeting to experience it to say whether that's worthwhile for them or not.
Agree.
So I think this is really
really helpful, and it obviously creates a lot of good discussion. I think it would be making sure that as we see this every quarter that it's kept up to date and we don't lose track of anything. I think that's the key. So thank you to the team for putting that together.
Well, I found it very helpful. Our team is using it quite a bit already, so I want to particularly thank Donna and Nicole, who worked very hard on it. So that concludes the membership pipeline report, Kelly. I had requested if we could move item number 6 up and discuss it next, since I may have to drop off of the call.
Yep, why don't you jump right into that one?
All right. So if you'll go a little further back in your packet, you'll see applications, you'll see a page that's entitled Update Current Management Approach to Affiliate Provider Organizations.
Got it.
You'll recall that has been an emphasis on it for us over the last couple of years to really more fully engage with the intersection points. The Alliance has always worked with your health system owners, and in fact, the first time that we started to really bring them together in what is now our health system and health plan meeting was 5 or 6 years ago. So we have a history of engaging with your health system owners to build upon. But you'll recall there was then we've had conversations in the past about should they have their own membership classification and how, what would they get from the organization. So you'll recall that last year, Kathy, Kristen, and I did about 15 interviews with health system executives to hear from them what they would be interested in doing, what other organizations they belong to, what would they hope to get out of the Alliance. And you'll recall from those conversations, the decision was made to not form a distinct or unique membership class for health system owners or affiliated physician groups, but instead that they would be under the membership umbrella of their affiliated health plan. So we have progressed with that from a technology and structural point perspective. And so you can see there the first couple of pages we've outlined kind of what the benefit packages are and kind of how we're structured with health system owners and medical groups. The nomenclature that we use is we call them an affiliate. And so we use that nomenclature in our database and in our structure. So you can see if you kind of crosswalk there between the Alliance plan members and the Alliance affiliate members, there is really the affiliate members really have access to pretty much all of the resources and not pretty much all of, they do have access to all of the resources and programming and member benefits that are available to their health plans. There are some structural differences. We don't, on the website include them in our member directory and some things like that are kind of a little bit more back end, if you will. So they're not freestanding members. They are associated or affiliated with the health plan. And that's how it's structured, on our website and in the database and in our communications with them. So I want to say just a bit about the communications with them. And I mentioned that we would review the health system engagement goal as part of this discussion. But before I do that, do you have any questions just about the basic structure and, how the nomenclature that we are using and kind of the strategy and the philosophy that's guiding us on this?
Well, I have a comment, not a question. I think it's very much in line with the discussion we had about how to include them at a, in a way that would be most successful. So I think that you guys have done that, and I appreciate that.
Well, I mean, based on the feedback that we got, that we received, Kelly, this really built off of that, and so hopefully aligns it. We still got some refinement work to do, as you'll see as Kristen, as we talk about our how we're going to handle communications in particular with them. Any other questions? So let me draw our attention to the health system engagement goal. The purpose of this goal was to support this structure and allow us to begin involving the system owners and the medical groups in the Health Plan Alliance programming more directly. As I said, they've always been allowed to participate, and we communicated to them most often through the health plan. But with this kind of a structure, gave us the opportunity to build on that and to engage them more directly and to get them more involved. So the purpose of the health system engagement goal was to establish a way to communicate to those members. And it started with the development of a database. Who are the contact names that we have, getting them into our database, and then identifying the most effective ways to communicate to them about their specific needs. So we, those of you that are CEOs, you will recall that we sent a communication out to you at the, toward the end of the first quarter, I believe, where we gave you basically three options. The first option, do not include any names in the Alliance database for your health system and your owners. The second option was to include names from your health systems and medical groups in our database, but to turn off the communication function so that all communications would flow through you to them. And then the third option was to include names in the database and to opt into communications coming directly from the Alliance to those executives. And the goal was to get that database set up, develop a communication strategy to them, and of those organizations that we had permission to talk to, begin to communicate with them and get at least 25 engagement points with them. Any questions about that? Is that everybody kind of understand that? Hopefully I explained it in simple enough terms, what the objective was and what the structure of the goal was. So to report back to you, basically four plans gave us permission to communicate directly with the names with the executives that are in our database. Alliant, AvMed, Community Health Plan of Washington, and Select Health gave us permission to talk with St. Luke's, not Intermountain, but with St. Luke's. So I'll just pause there because that was a learning lesson for us in the Alliance. As a senior leadership team. First of all, the overall response was pretty low, even getting names into the database. So CEOs are very busy, so you know, we don't really know what the reason, maybe they were just too busy to respond, or they just didn't see it, or they consciously made a decision to not include the names in the database. Obviously, those that had names in the database, and we shared with each CEO the names we already had, for those that made the conscious effort to opt out of the communications, you know, working with them to share communications. Many of them are highly involved. Some of you on this phone call, you know, opted out communications, and you're very aggressive in sharing information with your system owners and your medical groups, and they're highly involved and engaged. So that is an option too that we know a number of plans are following. But, you know, 4 out of 50 is not a large number of plans that told us, okay, it's okay for you to, you can communicate with our members. So, you know, there's something there as well in terms of how to approach and offer programming to executives in health systems and health and medical groups. So any reflections or, you know, kind of reactions to what I, to, you know, seeing this information now?
This is Matt. I guess from my perspective, I feel it would be more successful for me to forward information directly to the various people I think it would make sense to at the health system side that I'll get responses for. So that's why our reason was not to send it directly to them. And I think hopefully over time as the value of the health plan continues to rise, maybe that does change, but, or as they see the value of some of the, you know, the, whether it's the calls or the other opportunities to share information from the Health Plan Alliance, that they'll see more value and that will change a little bit. But for now, I think timing's everything. And I think just to be more successful here, at least at Cox, it's me forwarding directly to a particular senior executive over there about maybe it's a particular presentation that's been done or something. That just makes more sense from our perspective right now.
Yeah, that's exactly where we were, Matt, in terms of the value statement and how we continue to promote that value statement. So it's the exact same thing.
Yeah, certainly. I'm sorry, any other comments or reflections? I mean, my thoughts on Kelly and Matt, what you said are, I very much see that. I mean, I could just imagine somebody, you know, any email that would come from me or the Alliance, you know, go straight into, you know, the delete box because you don't know who they are and, you know, your executives don't know who they are, who we are, or anything like that, or, you know, that kind of thing. So I think that does make a great deal of sense. The opportunity that it raises, and I'll just throw this out, Matt and Kelly, for you guys, is there something that we can do to help you with those communications so for example, if we knew, you know, that your organization is particularly working on a particular issue or initiative, you know, we can be a little more proactive maybe, Matt, in pushing a presentation out to you and saying, hey, Matt, you had told us that your senior executives were interested in this topic. Here's this presentation, so that you wouldn't always have to be on the outlook, but that we could help you with those communications and help identify materials and resources that would be of interest to them.
Well, I kind of keep an eye on it, and I've forwarded many presentations that either other health plans or you guys have done at the various conferences that I've been to, so that's mm-hmm. how I do it. And then mm-hmm. if there are particular value calls as well, I'll invite people from the system just to join us here at the health plan and listen in. So I kind of track some of that. I mean, I kind of try to decipher through that already to do that. So I don't know if there's anything particular I could point out because just I try to keep a handle on what's, you know, what the health plan is doing just in general. So
makes sense. And I mean, I think, you know, we're always taking a look at, well, how can we package information that we have heard is of interest in general terms to health systems and to medical groups. So I think as we become more sophisticated on that, that may help you as well, Matt.
Okay. Yeah, like I said, I think over time, you know, they're engaging with a consulting firm to, you know, on population health initiatives, and I think as they see the value of the plan continue to increase, I think maybe that will change in the future. But where we are now, that's where we are, kind of thing. So
yeah. Well, so we're identifying communication strategies for those five plans. One of them has actually already reached the goal. But the other three, we're developing game plans and action plans for to work with them. Other thoughts or comments, and then I'm going to ask Kristen to kind of walk through the technical side, the data management practices and the technical side of things. Well, hearing,
no worries.
Hearing none,
oh, sorry, Dennis.
Kristen?
Yeah, no worries. So this is the, I think, the final page of the packet, and I am, first let me just ask, are there specific questions about this flow chart? I'm happy to go into a high level of detail, and at the same time, I don't want to geek out on you guys if it's not interesting.
Well, I think it would be good if you could go at a high level.
Sure.
Kind of what this says, not too much in the weeds, so we get a sense of how it works, back to Matt's point, so we can figure out how to manage it.
Yeah, understood. Well, so I'll actually use Kelly and Matt as examples then. So as Dennis noted, we sent a communication out to all of the health plan CEOs and basically asked them, you know, opt in, opt out, do you want us to communicate directly to either your system or partner contacts? That way we're able to send them information based on their interests, just as we do with all of you and your employees. And this basically delineates kind of the three scenarios. So one scenario is a firm opt-out, and so what this shows is how we set up firewalls within our own data so that we still collect contact information, profile information. This generally will happen if, using Kelly as an example, many of her system contacts do come to meetings, and so we set them up in our system so that they can register. So all of that information does get collected, but we also place them on a do not email list, and we have a few different kind of safety controls in a few different places in order to ensure that they're not getting unsolicited emails. And then the other two scenarios are where either a health plan actively opts in and so says, yes, you should directly communicate to our system folks. And there we're doing kind of two things. One is we are actively trying to grow that list of contacts, so the four organizations that Dennis noted. In some of those cases, we only have maybe two, three, or a few more contacts, and so we're working to try to grow that contact list a little bit. Excuse me. And then those folks are receiving emails, and basically they get the same encouragement that your staff gets to keep their profile up to date, to make sure that they have areas of interest selected so that they're getting the topic areas and the type of communications that are interesting to them. And so they go through the very similar onboarding process as health plan employees. And then the third is kind of the silent route, I would say. So in some cases, we've had system folks that reach out to us. This actually happens pretty frequently, where they're actually, you know, just anecdotally reaching out to our info box or to one of our staff members and basically saying, hey, word of mouth, I heard about you guys. I understand that I can gain access. And so there we do place them into that systems contact list, and we'll go ahead and set them up, and we'll go ahead and allow them to get communications, unless the health plan CEO indicates otherwise, or if that individual opts out of communications. And that generally will happen where we've had, so using Select Health as an example, Select Health actively opted St. Luke's into the goal engagement. But we have many Intermountain individuals who engage with us very actively. In fact, many of them are coming to Oregon with us next month, Kelly. And so those Intermountain employees, you know, these are folks who maybe sit, you know, in the health system database or in that reporting structure, but they are very closely aligned with the health plan. And so maybe they kind of, you know, move between the two organizations. That's usually the most common type of employee that path is what's going on there. So really what we wanted to illustrate with this grid, kind of the key takeaway that we wanted you all to have, was that clear sense of where we do set up those firewalls so that if either the health plan or individual employees within the system are telling us, you know, we do not want to be actively engaging with the alliance, that we are setting up parameters in order to ensure that doesn't happen. Did that answer all the questions? Do I have additional elements I can cover for you guys?
It sounds like that those needs that we had around the communication, not direct, but direct when needed. So,
mm-hmm.
I think the conversation that we probably need to have with the broader group is it important for us to be tracking the engagement that we're having and the value that we're bringing to our members' owner systems or those that are in there as affiliated systems? Because it's hard, I think, without one, if only four of them out of all of them opted in to say, you know, have direct communication, and then only some of them are coming on the website, then it's much more of an indirect value of where the plan decides to pass along information, and it's hard for us to be able to, you know, track how much engagement there is at the system level. So I think that was probably the biggest concern I saw with the goal that we set, thinking, you know, we would be able to track this and show value, but a lot of the information passed along or invitations or whatever is more an indirect tie between the plan and the delivery system.
This is Penny. I have a question. Are you tracking, so let's say one of our owners joins one of the webinars. Is that something that gives points to Network Health? So kind of indirectly you're already tracking system engagement without calling it out separately?
That's a great question, Penny. And actually, I think it highlights something that I'm going to have to go back to the data to see how we delineated it now that we've changed this database. Previous to the introduction of this goal, the answer would be yes, you're precisely right. The vast majority of the time, any system employee, again, I'll use Presbyterian as an example, we basically just created those people profiles and put them inside the health plan. So for all intents and purposes, we treated them like health plan employees. It was with this particular goal's introduction around tracking health system activities separately that we actually went through in order to be consistent in how we're managing all of the data, and this gets back to that flow chart there, that that all of the systems are set up the same way. Only those that want communication directly are getting that communication, but we did separate out the owner system employees, those with those email addresses, away from the health plan employees. And so I'm going to hazard a guess that the most current engagement report, probably those numbers got taken out of Network's points. I'll go back and check to be sure if that's right, and I'll circle with Sarah on that. That's a really great call out. Having said that, in general, it's a very small number. So I don't
think and I'm not worried about – I wasn't asking because I want to make sure Network Health is getting every point we deserve. I was asking because if you're already indirectly tracking it, I'm just not sure of the value of a separate goal for it because each one of our relationships with our owners is so very different that I think, you know, you'll have some who show up to everything and then you have owners like ours who have been to one thing in the last 4 years that I can remember. So and it's not that they don't see the value, but they see it's our job to bring them the information.
Right. Yeah, I'll flag that for myself as a follow-up just to really wrap my arms around that piece, and I'll circle with Sarah on that piece.
You know, I think our June meeting was a good example because that one we did in conjunction with AHA. So their contact list of who they invited were probably more on the owner side than our list of who we invited, and so we had some of a blending of both coming in. And then there might be some other additional follow-ups or something at some future point. In fact, we had some people who came who were board members of a system for Health First as an educational opportunity but aren't, you know, they're at the system level, not at the health plan level. So I think our question going forward is, do we do that as a separate tracking mechanism, or should we just fold it in as we had in the past, you know, or do you want a separate category under your engagement score that here's, you know, system engagement that rolls up into the plan? Because it doesn't seem to be a lot of activity for us to track that's just the system-only engagement.
Yeah, and that's kind of where I was going, Kathy, that to me it makes sense for it to roll up into ours and not be separate.
I think I would probably agree with that as well.
Yeah. That's kind of what I was thinking, too.
I think this will be a good conversation when we look at all of this is in relation to the health system goal, right? So one of our membership goals is around engagement around health systems, which is, again, why we set up the data structure this way. And if, looking forward to 2018, we determine that that goal doesn't make sense, then, you know, we can certainly, you know, reframe the data structure. But for this year of 2017, you know, I'll have to sit down with the rest of the leadership team to see how we can manage tracking that particular goal and making sure we're reporting on that accurately, and then keeping, you know, the way that we're tracking the engagement on the other companies consistent as well. So I can make that an action item to follow back up with this committee on what we would recommend for this year, this year's numbers.
I think that's fine. So we can be consistent as we move forward. We can bring that back to discussion for next year. It's already there.
I think one other thing would probably be for communication for upcoming events. If we are going to have a system person co-present or be a presenter at one of our meetings, and I'm thinking more not of the C-level meetings, but some of our value visits, we probably should figure out how to communicate. If you want to bring a system person, these are the types of individuals that might be most likely to value this meeting. We just had one on Medicare. And I remember somebody saying, oh, I wish I'd brought my system person or risk adjustment. This would have been a really good one, but it's more after the fact. And they still have access to the material via the website, but it might be helpful for us to think through what type of audiences at the system level for a particular meeting might be appropriate and somehow include that in the communication, because not all of the value visits and that go through the CEO to know that, you know, some of them are just going directly in other categories of C-level.
Sounds good.
So I think we may have lost Dennis, because I know he had to step out to prepare for another meeting. He's getting...
Kristen, this is Dennis. I'm getting ready to step out now.
Okay.
So if there are any other questions, the Presbyterian Board meeting starts momentarily here, so.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, no problem. So just to summarize this portion of the agenda then is I definitely have an action item just in terms of making sure that from a data governance perspective we're being consistent. And, again, I'll work with Sarah Neese. She really spearheads all of the dashboard and reporting that we do around the engagement goal. So I'll make sure that we're clear on what it is that we're pulling and that it's consistent from one organization to the next. And then that'll be something we can come back to the committee and report on. If it's fairly straightforward, you know, we can certainly send that as a follow-up email. And if it's a little bit more discussion-oriented, then we can bring it back for the next agenda. Were there any other items specific to this discussion area that I missed as far as follow-up?
I think that's it.
Okay. Great. All right. Well, so since Dennis does have to step out, Kelly, if we're good, we can actually move back up on the agenda and talk through the two applications that we have on the table. We have two new member applications for this committee to review.
That would be good. Thank you.
Absolutely. So moving backwards in our packet then, the first application we have, and I'll make sure to number these next time. That was my mistake, everybody. Sorry about that. So Christus Health is one of our new prospective member plans. And just as a reminder on the process that we go through, we do send out a notice to all of the health plan CEOs that are currently members and invite them to take a preview of these applications and to share if they have any concerns or elements that they would want us to bring forward to the committee. And we also encourage folks, if they want to actively support, that they're welcome to do that. In both of these applications, we didn't have any concerns voiced by any current member, and in fact received a number of positive responses that CEOs were in support of it. So that's great. So I think from my perspective, the fact that the CEOs are looking at these notices and they are engaging with them is really validating. So I think they really appreciate this process and are getting some value out of it. And again, no concern on these guys. So our first one here is Christus Health, and this organization is actually based in hometown of the Health Plan Alliance. They're in Irving, and Dennis did proactively speak with all of the health plan members that are in Texas. There weren't any competitive concerns that, you know, a current member raised that they felt needed to be brought to this committee. So that was great. And then as far as this organization itself, we've been speaking with them for a good length of time now and have gotten to know their group fairly well. They've come to a few meetings via their trial membership. And along the far right in the comments area, you can see that a lot of the structure and their market share, their vendor relationships, they really align with the peer groups within the Health Plan Alliance membership. So we're feeling really confident they're going to fit right in and have some great value to offer in terms of their own learnings and then also glean some good value from current members. Are there any specific questions about Christus Health that I can answer for anyone?
Just one other comment. They are in Santa Fe. They have a very small MA plan there. And we did check with Presbyterian, and they didn't have a problem with it. So there is a slight competitive issue, but it didn't seem to be an issue to keep them out.
Thanks for that catch, Kathy. That's right. So if there aren't any questions or concerns, then, Kelly, I think we could we can vote on this one before we move on to the next one.
This is Kelly, and I'll make a motion to approve.
I'll second.
John.
Great. All those in favor say aye.
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 Any opposed or abstained? All right. I say we have a new member, so let's move to the next one.
Wonderful. So we'll put that one in front of the board at the next board meeting, which is in just a few weeks here in August, to do the official vote on that one. That's great.
Almost any member.
Almost. So close. And Health Team Advantage. So this is a – and actually, Kathy, can I – this is one that I know you've been working with really closely with Dennis. Do you mind?
Sure.
Great.
Yeah, so this is a small MA plan that is located in Greensboro, North Carolina. The system owner is Cohn, and David Kibbe, who many of you know from having been at, I think, three of our plans in the past, is now the system executive that the plan reports up through. So they started the MA plan. I think they have about 10,000 members in it. It's grown fairly quickly. They were at the meeting last week that we had in Madison, so they've already become engaged in it. And they are also one of 11 providers in North Carolina that's working with Presbyterian to start up the Medicaid plan in 19. So there's a broader group, but this is the third plan that we have in North Carolina. They're small. The First Carolina Care is the one in Pinehurst that we've had in, and then this one with the two's in Care and Care is their back shop, and then the one in Asheville are the three that have been involved. Any questions about that one? And I would say probably this is typical of the plans that we're going to see for a growth opportunity going forward. We've just had John Gorman speak at our MA meeting last week, and one of his comments is there are probably another 40 to 45 MA plans that will be started up in the next few years, and most of those will be provider-owned. And that's kind of the evolution of the ACOs moving up and becoming health plans.
So I hear that any of the ACOs are moving into being an MAPD?
Yeah, we're seeing that where they're evolving, where they started out as an ACO. And I'll give you an example. I just met with Jennifer Brady's team. They have she's the CEO now of a Physician Health Alliance that's tied to Carolina's healthcare system in Charlotte. And so they're doing this network. They're working with their own employees, and they've got some other stuff in it. But she said that the discussion and part of the reason they hired her was over the next couple of years, they're probably going to have a health plan. They'll either do it in conjunction with another North Carolina member or they'll start their own MA plan. So they're starting to take on risk through the ACOs, and then as they get further along, they see it as if we're going to already take all this risk, you know, does it make sense for us to get a license and have a health plan?
Interesting.
Kristen, are there others of those that you've talked to you put in that category?
I don't have any other ones that I've been speaking with, Kathy. I know that I think most of the folks have been going directly to you. So I know that you and Dennis have a number of conversations going on with systems that have been talking with us about interest in our content. And I absolutely agree. I think that's where it's coming from.
Yeah, another example, and this is for a future discussion, but Florida Hospitals has been coming to our meetings. They used to have a small health plan. They rolled that into Health First. They'll eventually probably buy into that plan, and they're doing the back shop, and they have a MA plan that Health First helped them get started. But one of the reasons, and I asked them specifically because they're a delivery system who has a population health services organization, and they're very interested in membership and staying connected with us and not just relying on that relationship through Health First. And when I talked to both their strategic planning person at the system level and the woman who runs that population health services organization, they said, you know, there are other things out of the industry that we go to, but those are very basic and that we kind of view those as sort of one-on-one type of things. But when we're at your meetings, that really stretches and pushes our thinking, and it's much more advanced about where we feel we need to go. And so that ability for the providers to really think through and understand risk and where is that taking them, from what we're hearing, they're not necessarily getting those types of in-depth discussions from the groups of healthcare systems that they're meeting with.
All right, so are there any other questions around Health Team Advantage?
Nope.
If not, would somebody like to make a motion?
So moved.
Make a motion to approve.
Second?
Second.
Great. All those in favor say aye.
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 Opposed? Abstained? All right. We will move that one forward.
Wonderful. And, Kelly, actually, one oversight on my part. I had meant to ask before we went to vote if there were any new members on the committee that joined the call and hadn't had an opportunity yet to let us know they're on the call. All right, just checking. Wonderful. Okay, great. That's all the items we had on our agenda today. At the very bottom of the agenda, we do have that reminder that our next committee meeting is Wednesday, September 20th. So maybe double-check your calendar and be sure that you have that on your calendar. If you don't, remember that the membership committee portal link is in the footer of the Health Plan Alliance website, so you can go right to your committee portal and you can register for the next committee event, and you can get that on your calendar. And also there's
earlier in the day. Just a reminder. So that one,
September.
I have on my calendar that one is at 9 o'clock Pacific time.
Yeah, I don't have it on my calendar on September 20th, so I don't know.
All right, let's take a look. Membership committee, September 20th, teleconference.
This is 9 to 11 Pacific.
Okay, I've got it.
Oh, you are correct, Kelly. So on the event, we have 11 a.m. Central to 1 p.m. Central. So I apologize. This agenda has all the wrong info there for you. So I will send a follow-up and make sure that everyone has the information that they need to get the right time on their calendar. And, Kelly, what you have is correct, and I think I heard John say he has that as well.
So maybe resend it out just to make sure everybody has it so we're safe.
Absolutely. Will do. Absolutely. And then just want to let the committee members know that we do have two health plans that sit on this committee, Passport Health Plan and also Alliance. Both of the committee representatives from those two health plans are no longer with their health plans, and so Passport Health Plan did get a new team member who's agreed to join the committee, Greg Pugh, who I know many of you have already met. Greg, he's wonderful. He's our chief compliance officer. And Greg wasn't able to make today because it was just last week that that we got that commitment from him, but he plans on coming to the September meeting. And then Alliance, I'm working with Mark Mixer to try to identify the next colleague that'll sit in their seat. You'll remember that we've kind of calibrated the membership of this committee to try to ensure this committee really represents the full scope of our membership in terms of size, type of plan, et cetera. And so hoping that we'll be able to fill those two seats with current colleagues from those health plans. If Alliant decides to no longer have a seat on this committee, then, you know, then we'll kind of have to recalibrate, and I can work with Kelly to do that.
Sounds
Are there
good.
Any other questions or housekeeping items from anybody on the call before we adjourn for the day? All right. Kelly, anything else from you?
I don't think so. Thank you, everybody. Have a good rest of the day.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Bye-bye.
Bye.